Our next speaker will be James Wilson.
Good morning. The topic of my presentation today is going to be a little bit different than previous presenters, focusing more on the maintenance of address information and the maintenance of what we consider to be currency of the name associated with a given address. Contrary to some popular misconceptions, the Postal Service does not maintain a name and address database for the country. We do maintain an address database of what we refer to as the delivery addresses that we service on a daily basis, but we have some restrictions that have been imposed upon us through law that prevent us from the sharing of that data, at least as it's occurred in the past in the terms of traditional text information sharing. We do maintain name and address information associated with individuals when it is associated with a change of address transaction. But again, that information is also governed by legal restrictions under the Privacy Act rules, and we cannot disclose that information without it falling within what we refer to as the routine use definition. One of the routine use definitions that's applicable to the conversation today is that we have defined state election officials as one of the routine uses that this information would be made available. So a election official in a state does have the right to request information from the Postal Service as to whether a given individual has a change of address on file with the Postal Service. Now, what I would like to share is how we've been able to make the information that we do have available, the address database as well as the change of address database, under the constraints of the legal requirements that we have. And there's specifically two products that are commercially available in the marketplace, one referring to as delivery point validation, and the other one referred to as NCOA link, which is covering the change of address information. And then I'd just like to close by sharing information about how we have another mechanisms for verifying and validating information through what we call our intelligent mail programs, one code address change service and one code confirm. As I mentioned, we've compiled a database of all the known addresses that we service in the country, and we've put them into a data architecture that allows us to respond to a query that would be presented to the data system. Is 2101 Constitution Avenue a valid address? And because of the architecture of the database, we're not disclosing an actual listing of addresses, but we've enabled the mechanisms by which we can respond to a yes, no, that is a known address which the Postal Service delivers, or no, that is not a known address to which the Postal Service delivers. This complies with the legal restrictions that we have under Title 39.412 in terms of disclosures of address information. We're not giving out address data. We're confirming the validity of a given address. When you take our DPV database and combine it with common software products that are available in the marketplace, referred to as CAS, or Coding Accuracy Support Software, which will take an input address in various representations, normalize it and match it against our database to determine whether or not a given address exists in the Postal Service database, DPV becomes a very powerful tool that allows you to verify the given address. Is 2101 a valid house number? Is apartment 5 a valid apartment number? Is suite 210 a valid apartment number? So armed with that information, you can now make business case decisions about the validity of a given address as you're accepting it either online or validating somebody as they're attempting to register. The key point, though, is that with the DPV product, we can't add information, we can't update information, we can't correct the information that's available. We can simply confirm. When we confirm, we give access to some of the other additional information that's associated with our data products. Specifically, we can tell you that based upon our knowledge, is the current address known to be vacant? Has it remained vacant for 90 days? Is it forecasted to be vacant for the foreseeable future? and access to other data elements that we maintain, county number, congressional district information. Those are just standard outputs that the software provide. So DPV, from the Postal Service's perspective, within the context of mailing, is a very powerful tool to validate quality and accuracy of address information. Switching over to the change of address data, we do compile change of address data when customers are moving and indicate that they're requesting forwarding services from the Postal Service. And it is a Privacy Act system record. So we've defined the product under the definition shown up above. It's to provide mail forwarding and change of address services, to provide address correction services to the mailing industry. We share information with American Red Cross during emergencies. And we also assist when customers want to make various contacts to move related activity. But the primary function is the forwarding and the address correction service. We are very limited and very careful in the disclosures that we make from the NCOA system. And there's a prerequisite that the address has to be something that is already in the possession of the inquirer. So you can't come to the system and say, tell me where Kristen has moved to. You have to present Kristen's name and address and validate it against the database before any disclosure would be made. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the routine use definitions is that we will disclose this information to voter registration officials when there's a permanent change of address that's been filed. We do have a bit of a limitation in right now in that the exchange of information with the voter registration official is on an office-by-office basis, and it's not something that we do through any centralized or electronic process. We are a highly mobile community. About 13 to 16% of the American population is filing changes of address every year. That correlates to about 43 million change of address orders that we process, and from our viewpoint, that's the number one reason why we can't get a mail piece delivered to a given address. A voter registration office trying to send out information to alert constituents of where their voting booths might be would suffer the same concerns that any other mailer might have. So through our NCOA Link product, we have actually designed a system that compiles the name and address information associated with the change of address into an electronic data system that can be queried by the presentation of the name and address, and when a match is made, will reveal what the customer's new address is. The design of the system is very secure. It's been independently audited by commercial security and academic security reviews, which have concluded that we're not going to be making a lot of false positives. The conclusion is that we're near zero. However, because of some of the variations that might occur in address presentations, there's always the possibility for any type of error occurring. But the system itself is very, very secure, and it is very, very precise. And it is something that we make available for general use within the mailing industry. There is the requirement that they must stipulate that it will be used for mailing-related purposes as a primary function. That's one of the key requirements. Without that stipulation, we don't make the data available. And then moving on to the last topic of intelligent mail, the Postal Service is in a state of change this year and next year where we're migrating to new barcode symbology, typical address on a mail piece showing up on the upper example is going to be converted down to the example on the lower display, moving to what we call the intelligent mail barcode based upon four state barcode symbologies. What we're able to do with this symbology is now uniquely identify every mail piece that exists in the mail stream. And we're talking about some 212, 214 billion pieces of mail per year, so we will now be able to uniquely identify who the mailer is and the address that they're sending the mail piece to. And we've also enabled the mailer to leverage that information to sub-identify within the barcode information specific to them, such as which customer they're specifically mailing to at a given address. That's referred to in the serial number field, which is a mailer assigned value. So if a mailer wanted to know that I'm mailing three pieces to the same address, they could differentiate those three pieces through that serial number. The Intelligent Mail barcode is going to enable some services that will allow mailers to know when their mail pieces are undeliverable, the reasons why. If it is due to a customer's move, they will gain access to information that will update the customer's address so that they can correct their records, make the next mailing to the customer at their current address. Or if the address or the mail piece cannot be delivered for a reason unrelated to a move, then the information will tell them specifically this reason: the address is vacant, there's attempted not known, no such number, whatever the more common reasons for non-delivery might be. By taking the information from the mailer ID, we know who to transact the fulfillment record back to. By utilizing the serial number that's transferred with that information, the mailer now knows how to go and electronically update the specific record in their master database. And for the Postal Service, this is one of the key strategies that we have to reducing our cost for undeliverable mail. We spend in excess of nearly $2 billion a year on what we refer to as UAA. So the quicker that we can get an address updated, the quicker we can get you mailing to the new address, and we can save money. In exchange for that, within first class mail, we give those electronic transactions back at no cost. And that's hopefully going to incent mailers to utilize the program. Another key program that's leveraged off the Intelligent Mail barcode is what we call to One Code Confirm. The Confirm program is a process that gives the mailer feedback about the mail piece as it's in the mail stream and when delivery has been affected. Based upon that, mailers can track, is my mail piece getting to the address to which I've mailed? Just as an aside, following Hurricane Katrina, our office worked with the Secretary of State from Louisiana. We implemented all of these programs in the administrations of their absentee ballots. They were able to, as customers were requesting absentee ballots, validate that they were obtaining valid, correct addresses to which mail pieces could be sent. They utilized the One Code Confirm program, and through that, were able to know when the ballot arrived at the customer's location. And then more importantly, they also knew when the customer put the response ballot back into the mail stream, which was then coming back to the Secretaries of State's office. So they could now tell at what point in time did it enter the mail stream. They could use that for any cutoff administration and or knowledge about what the volume of transactions coming back. So the three programs that the Postal Service has available, although they're not going to validate identities, we do believe is something that this organization should be aware of and state voter offices should know about. These do enable them to maintain high quality address information, gain some insight as to whether or not a customer is known to the Postal Service to reside at a given address. We have a lot more information about the products and services that we have available at these various websites. We do have a specific website dedicated just to election mail and the various informations associated with election mail. With that, I thank you.